a podcast about us curly-headed ladies living in the Kansai area of
Japan. You almost got it. You messed it up. It's okay.
I know. I didn't say, like, too us curly-headed. Two because we have guests. So
what? It's the intro.
Whatever.
Okay.
It's not about us.
Fine. Fine. It's fine. I was about
to say. Oh my god. I'm Ayanna.
I'm Elise.
And welcome to another episode. So did you notice, Elise? What? You never noticed, but I didn't.
don't even ask me then.
On blast.
Put your own blast. I didn't post on YouTube.
The last one?
No. I've been so busy. I was like, I'm going to do it today. Every day something came up because the Black Women Japan Convention was last weekend. So I was so busy with that and just other things. I went to Tokyo for like 4 days and had photo shoots there again. Keep going to Tokyo. People want to buy from me in Tokyo, but in Osaka, I don't know. Y'all broke bitches need to find some money.
Damn.
Oh, wow. Wow. Can you give us a break?
At least you know I shoot you for free. It's fine. Unless it's you and Shota, maybe. If you have like an anniversary like photo shoot you want, then I'm going to have to like get some money from you.
Yeah, we're
not. But I'll give you a discount.
What?
Making plans that I didn't even suggest.
Trying to secure the bag.
Just letting you know in advance.
Yes.
So, yeah, we had the Black Women in Japan Convention in Kobe this year. I was also a committee member, and it was stressful as usual. Like, just, you know, organizing all the time is always stressful, but it was a really good turnout, and the vibe was nice, and met a lot of ladies that I didn't meet before, so.
Really?
Yeah.
You have photos? You got proof?
Yes.
Where's the proof?
Oh, my God.
Receipts? Receipts.
Thank you.
It's online on Instagram and on Facebook.
And there it is.
So. Is it on the Black Women in Japan page, your page?
Deets. If I did that now, we wouldn't be ready for this podcast.
Okay.
Let me have a break. We just had it. We just had the event. Breaks. Okay. Anyway, so on day one, Saturday, after the Black Women Japan Convention, we also had our event that Elise DJ'd at.
Yes.
And it was a costume party, right?
Yeah.
Who won?
Niche won, and I got second place.
What?
But we didn't get our prizes.
What?
So, Fernando, I know you're going to listen to this. Give us our damn prizes. Thank you.
Wasn't there three prizes?
Yeah, I think Isaiah got third.
Yo, so he's basically... Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
I mean, but, like, we were really the only people in costume. That was a thing.
That's funny. Because I was like, only our friends got money? Like, it was supposed to be... an event for people of Kobe, and it's just like all of Osaka came, and like where was the Kobe people at?
Well, the Kobe people just weren't in costume. They were just like, hi.
I thought I saw one girl on all green. I guess she left before.
Oh no, yeah, she left right before we did the judging because she was like, I'm tired. And I was like,
she could have won. I think she was all out. She was all out. All right.
She was a good poison ivy.
Well, too bad for her. Well, after the Knight Riders, I had the Black Women Japan Day 2.
Mm-hmm.
And anything else happened after that? No. Next.
Are you doing nothing on Monday?
Nothing on Monday. But this weekend, Sunday, we have the clothing swap that you said you're not coming to.
Can you not put my business on the internet? Damn. I want a break sometimes, too.
I know. I told you in the chat, like, you better get your break. Are you rested on Saturday, too?
Anyway, yes. I'm not going.
She didn't answer me on the Saturday, though. She's like, I don't want to tell you my plans. Is that what it is?
What? Saturday?
No, I asked you if you're resting on Saturday. Anyway, that's besides the point. Sunday, we have a clothing swap, and it's mainly hosted by our friend Taylor and Rosie, but I also help with the promotion. And like I said, it's a clothing swap. Rosie is a baker for vegan sweets.
Mm.
Okay. So if you want to come, you could come chill. You don't have to swap clothes. You know?
And they were good. Oh,
and it's so
cupcakes.
Good. It's Sunday.
Oh,
so our guests are hopefully going to come Sunday. It's chill. It's real chill. And then also we have Coco, who is with ODT Factory. She is a silk screen printer. Mm. And you could buy new shirts, or if you have a shirt that you want to print on, you can do that too. It'll be cool. So come through.
That's at Lingua.
That's at Lingua World Cafe. Oh, and then there's another announcement.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderground 7.
Oh, yeah.
Can you please explain what this next one is going to be like?
Wonderground 7 has a theme. I forgot what I called it. Ciné filé. I think it's French.
Okay.
Which is French for just a film person. The person likes movies. So, all of our DJs have to create a set list from songs that have been featured in movies. Mm-hmm. It can be any song from any time period, any genre. It just has to be a song that's been used in a movie. So, basically, all the DJs have picked different movies they're going to use. And we're going to have, like, cool playlists. And we're going to have videos in the background. And it'll be really cool. Probably really artsy. Kind of different from your local club fair in Osaka. Mostly because I'm just kind of sick of it. I'm sick of hearing, like, the same
type of music.
Yeah. You're like, well, yeah, because with us, you know, it's like,
we all like the same, similar music.
Yeah, so we play, like, the same songs, and we've been doing it for about 2 years now.
Yeah.
So we kind of know each other's set lists.
But I've been trying to get new music, like, every time. But I get it. Not everybody's like that. So it's good to have, like, a challenge to change it up a bit.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to what everyone's going to create, you know? Should have some inspiring moments, some new creations.
And two of our performers, one is from Tokyo and the other one's from Gunma. Yeah. So people come. They travel to our events, which I like.
I'm glad that people are coming. Should be really cool.
But unfortunately, we won't be here for that.
It'll be cool.
I just wanted to go back. I mean, like, not go back. Can't speak. I just wanted to talk about our events because I don't have any comments since I did post on YouTube. And that's where all our comments come from. There's that. That's our intro for today. Oops. Moving along. So we have our two lovely ladies from, where are you from?
Ooh, California.
California.
California. Yes. Please introduce more of yourself.
I'm Coco.
And I'm Marista.
We're from Melanin Squared.
What is that about?
We do a lot of Japanese culture. We do YouTube. We're actually going to start hosting events in California that we're going to call Melon Meetups.
Nice.
So
we have a podcast ourselves with Black Nerd Problems. They're one of our partners. So
yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We are nerds. Oh yes, nerds.
When did you start doing?
Almost 2 years ago, right?
Yeah, it'll be 2 years ago in January.
Nice.
Yes.
Yeah.
We got a toddler on our hands.
Yeah. And you're visiting from California now. Yes. How long have you been here so far?
Today's day 8.
Day 8.
Yes. I remember because she keeps vlogging. Day 8.
Right.
Yes. Day 8.
Like 5 more days
13,
to go?
14, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 5 more days.
Did you go to Tokyo this trip?
No. We went to Tokyo 2 years ago.
Yes. Good. So now we have two Black ladies going to talk about the difference between, like, visiting Osaka and Tokyo. Oh, mm-hmm. Right now, first, which one's better?
You know what the name of the show is, right?
Right.
Answer wisely.
Answer wisely.
Better be in Kansai. I'm joking. He can. It's fine. It's fine.
Pros and cons.
Okay, we'll go. Sure, go ahead.
Because with Tokyo, I feel like Tokyo is cleaner than Kansai.
Some areas of Kansai.
Apparently, someone said that we're staying in the sex district, so maybe that's why it feels
good. Imamiya. Yeah,
of course. Wait, what part of Imamiya is their station?
Oh, Imamiya?
Imamiya.
Yes, Shinamiya.
Okay, well, yeah. That used to be the old homeless district, so.
Yeah, and they're still out there.
Yeah.
We got a little,
that's where the soup kitchen is. And,
was it on Halloween? We got someone making, like, kissy noises at us, like. Mm-mm. Yeah, I almost pushed him off his bike, but
classic,
I was like,
creepy old man.
Don't do it.
Catch a charge in a different country.
Yes. Yeah.
I feel like it might have been the same guy that walked into Moonshine and was trying to hug everybody, and we were all like,
please don't touch me.
Nah, man.
Physical contact is
off
limits.
Well,
thank you.
But also, I like that, I feel like there's a lot more nature-y stuff to do out here, which I really like. Like going on hikes, and there are tons of parks and things like that. I can walk around in the area. I mean, I could do the same in Tokyo, but when I walk around in this area, I feel like I stumble on a lot more temples and shrines and shops to go into and just little unique stuff. So that's why I like this area.
Agreed.
I mean, there's a lot more, like, shorter buildings than Tokyo.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're just so much smaller.
Yeah, that's true.
When you're
in
Tokyo, you got to remember it's a state. Mm-hmm. So when you're walking through a city, it's like a literal city.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Where Osaka City is
tiny.
It's tiny. So it's much easier to find, like, the cool shops and the cafes and walk from one neighborhood to another. It's so easy compared to Tokyo. You'd be like, I got to get on a train. and take 30-minute train ride just to get across to this one part of the city.
Because you're like, oh, I'm going to go to Shinjuku, and you're like, Harajuku, and it's like, yeah, that takes like 20 minutes. Like, what?
Right.
We had a JR pass last time, and that helped us out a lot, but this time we've just been buying the trains because it's been more convenient, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, if you're staying in the same area, it's fine.
Right.
And then also I feel like JR, the JR pass works more in Tokyo because there's a Yamanote line. There's a lot more JR lines than there is in Osaka. Osaka is like subway, Hanshin.
They're all different private owned
train lines.
So that's what that is. Yeah. That's the difference? Okay, yeah. See, I was wondering what that was. I was like, what's the difference between the local and the JR and this and that?
Yeah.
So they're all separate companies, and you can get a pass that lets you ride on the different ones, but it's usually for like a certain area. So if you get like the Kyoto Day Pass, you can ride all the trains that are in Kyoto, which could be like 2 to 3 trains. So it depends on like your passes that you get. You can get like, you can ride on various lines for one price.
A day or two, yeah.
For the most part, I think it's still cheaper anyway, just because the cost of living here is cheaper.
Oh, yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah, it's much, like food, drinking, everything is a smidge cheaper.
Now, I feel like it got more expensive because of the tax change.
Oh, really? I haven't been out to eat, actually, since the tax hike, so I don't know.
But I don't really notice is when I eat out, I'm like, whatever.
Here's my still money. Cheaper than America.
I want food.
For real. I went to Hawaii, and I was like, why is my meal $35?
Oh, but at least you get a big, like,
I mean, I took it home, and I ate it. Like,
right.
But at the same time, I was like, I would never eat out in America, because it's just so expensive.
Too much. Yeah. It's too much.
Unless it's like a special thing. Like in Japan, we'll be real quick to be like, you want to go to Kraft Burger or you want to go to
I see. Well,
that's another thing about eating out is last time I was here, I could eat anything. This time, I am vegan.
So
I
went things have changed.
So things have changed.
There's more vegan and vegetarian restaurants in Tokyo than there is in Osaka, unfortunately.
Yes,
But when you go to Kyoto, you can find more.
Oh, okay. That's good to know. Her diet has consisted of rice and miso soup.
French fries.
Oh. And French fries.
That was my sister when she visited too. Oh. She was vegan. She was like, what can I
do? Like, everything is so close to being plant-based, but then they throw some fish powder
Fish flakes. Like, she ordered the vegan, she ordered the veggie okonomiyaki, and then they... Because we told them,
no fish.
The last thing they did was throw the fish flakes in. And I was like,
well, it was. You just...
It was vegetarian. Ruined. But now...
But are you like a strict vegan?
I'm a strict vegan.
Okay.
My toothpaste is even vegan.
Oh, like, my
God.
I like it.
It's
commitment.
Wild. Yes. Yeah.
It's rough out there. Yeah. So please come Sunday.
Yes.
There are also vegan lunch options, and there'll be really good sweets.
She wants the sweets. That's all she's been talking about. The sweets.
My sweet tooth has been aching since I got here.
I'll recommend you other places that are in Osaka. Then, so their last couple of days, you can at least eat full meals.
Yeah.
And they're good enough for non-vegans as well.
Okay. Perfect.
Yeah. That sucks. So then, like, can you tell us now, like, where have you gone so far in Kansai?
I didn't bring my planner. She has everything.
We've done a lot of spas. So a lot of Spa World. We went to Solaniwa. We went to, there was a culture day a few days ago.
Yeah.
And we were just standing outside of this store, and a woman in a yukata came up to us and asked if we wanted to be a part of the culture day and go to a local bathhouse for free. So we did that. That was really fun.
Shock. Hot tub.
Yes. Yeah, talk about that.
That was wild. I went in there. I took a dip. I was brave.
What? Yeah, explain. Because I could.
I wish you could see that. Shaking around. My arms were jumping. I couldn't control like my muscle spasms. But I feel like that was part of it. It's supposed to help with like circulation and toned muscles and that sort of thing. I still felt it. It was like a battery being charged after I got out of there. It was wild.
I can imagine.
She was alert.
Yes, I was.
Have you ever done that experiment in middle school where like there's a generator in the middle of the room and like a kid touches it and everybody around the class is like holding hands, you feel the current?
Right, because everybody has an electrical
current.
That sounds
like something no school would allow to be.
What? Done. Happened in my school!
Practical science.
It's not like a full-on generator. It was, like, very, like, you have to crank it with your hand. Okay. Not something you put in the
the world.
You kind of left your kids. I got them kids.
Whoever survives, pass the buttons.
That's cool. So you did a lot of spa, like.
Yes, yeah. But we did go to Universal
on Halloween. Yeah, on Halloween. We went to Halloween Horror Nights.
Which is different than any
store. Oh, God. That's so scary.
But you would think it was the way people were jumping around genuinely afraid. Genuinely, like, screaming, really? Frightened.
But yes. They get surprised when they see us, like. What? I was walking through the zombie, and then they see us, and they're like, oh, like, I'm not in. No makeup. Costume. Nothing. Just being.
This isn't blackface. This is my face.
Right. It's real low-key offensive, but at the same time, like, this is just whatever.
Right.
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah. When I went to Amemura for, like, the whole Halloween night, everybody was in costume but me, so mm-hmm. when two guys came, they're like, okay, we take your picture. Mm-hmm. I thought they were, like, asking Taylor, asking Carla. She was fucking Doja Cat, like, moo. Ooh. Like, that looked nice.
Really cute.
But no, he took a picture of me, my basic wear. I was like, what?
You know, this is plain clothes?
This is plain clothes. Just my hair, my afro was out, so I was like, probably that's probably it. I was a bit like, you know
someone
what?
Someone walked up to her and was like, oh, our hair can't do that. I think it's cute. I love your...
Did they touch you?
Poops? No.
Mm-hmm.
I was about to say, smack!
Hair knot, isn't that game?
Yeah, we're just... Don't touch me.
Or you have to get your, like, your matrix on.
So, yeah, Dodge it.
I was cracking my back, but could you not really?
All right, well, but, like, in the spas, like, did people stare at you or ask too many questions?
Oh, yes. No one said anything
to
us.
Just stared.
But definitely stared, especially because I have tattoos.
Oh,
nice. I have five tattoos. I have, and a giant one up my side, too. So I feel like that was probably eliciting some stares. I was trying to wear my towel around me so I wouldn't. I'm not in the Yakuza, guys. I don't want to freak you out.
I'm not dangerous. Surprise,
surprise. Right? I'm not in the Yakuza. Just in case you thought.
There's a black woman in the Yakuza.
Right? How does that work? You never know. I'm from the U.S. branch.
So they let you in, though, still, even though
Well,
I honestly feel like they didn't notice.
You can't... most people don't notice my tattoos. Like, I have one visible tattoo, and the rest are hidden. Like, I have this one right here, but most people don't notice it because of the way I hold myself. Yeah. So, yeah, they didn't kick me out when they saw it. I know some staff members saw it, but they're like, oh, you know, Gaijin, she's a foreigner. Yeah. That's probably why she has tattoos. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, well.
What are you going to do about it? I already paid to get in here.
Right. Like, I got a tattoo on my back, so people don't notice it right away. Mm-hmm. And also, like, dark skin. Like, you're darker than me, so, exactly. You really can't notice
really
it unless
can't
you
tell.
Look.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think it's stupid. Like, by 2020, like, can we stop this bullshit?
Can we stop?
No, you already saw on Twitter, Japanese people were getting hella, like, upset. They were like, oh, but I don't like it.
I've seen people, I saw a girl on the train station, she had a little tattoo above her ankle. No, I saw a guy with a whole half face tattoo.
I mean, Japanese people with tattoos.
Yeah.
But the general opinion for Japanese people is that they don't like it. They don't like it, so they shouldn't do it.
Oh, but is it really associated with being in the Yakuza, or is
anymore?
That just like a...
It, not really, no. They
yeah,
don't
I
like
think
it.
So.
They
yeah,
just like,
I
oh,
didn't think so.
I don't like the way it looks, and I don't want to see it in the onsen. And I'm like, okay, well, don't look, though.
Right, and that takes care of that.
The fabulous thing about self-control is you don't have to look at me.
This was a news program that they were giving these responses, and I'm like, they really said that with their whole chest on the national news program. Like, well, I don't like it, so...
Well, our episode about tattoos, I think we discussed how it started, and it started like, it was like basically propaganda. Because tattoos has been in Japanese history for centuries.
Sure.
So
tattoos are old.
I guess in the 50s, 60s, they decided to be like, oh, the Yakuza, they're like rising. So they're the ones that go in these places and they're doing brothels and killing people.
Oh.
So they're like dangerous. If you have a tattoo, you're probably
dangerous.
Yakuza.
Okay.
So it's all like,
sorry, y'all. I'm not that interesting.
Well, anyway, so other than spas and USJ?
Today we went to Nara Deer Park.
Okay.
Yes, finally.
And that was a fantastic experience. I have never met an animal so needy as a hungry deer. One of them was following us, like headbutting us. And one of them tried to eat like my bag, like, because he thought I had food in it. I'm like, no, please don't. Mm-hmm. I want to, you're sweet, but stop. They're so cute, though.
They are cute. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Remember when I was, like, trying to push or
she
smush
smushed,
them?
She smushed the deer.
No.
It was rude.
And then he ate my flyer, and I was like, that's paper. You,
yeah, we saw one go in someone's bag.
And eat the paper.
And eat the paper. I'm like, is it that serious?
I'd be feeling bad. I saw a news article that one deer had a lot of plastic bags in its stomach.
Yeah.
Oh, because people don't know where to throw stuff out, especially like foreigners visiting.
Yeah, that's true.
And they're like, well, fuck it, I'm just going to throw it on the street. Some people do that. Yeah. So, you know.
All right.
What can you do? And then they've been trained to eat from people, too.
So right.
Oh, so they see
not drop it, they're probably thinking
humans
equal
food, right?
Oh, that's all I know. Well, it makes sense.
It's a combination of a lot of bad things, and now we have domesticated deer.
Right.
Which doesn't have outdoors, but domesticated. Right. Yeah. They're not
what
really.
What else have we done? Mm. Dontonbori.
Yes. Dontonbori.
Done a lot of that.
Shopping.
Shrines.
You've been eating.
I've been eating good. Sorry. Yeah, I've been good.
My motto is water and meditation. I'm on the meditation.
That's what you survived.
Okay. Spot at the temple.
Yes, but I do have this app on my phone called Happy Cow that has vegan restaurants in it.
Yeah.
On my birthday, I don't know how else to say it. We went to do a tea ceremony, a kimono photo shoot, and
a calligraphy
class.
Nice.
And that was super nice. The lady was really knowledgeable. Taught us about, you know, the reason they do the tea ceremonies and wear the kimonos and stuff like that. So. That was a fantastic experience.
Really,
I love educational experiences.
I've never done that.
Really?
Oh, really?
No. Have you?
Tea ceremony?
Yeah. Never done it.
Wow.
It's very, like, I appreciate it, but at the same time, like, is this actually necessary?
No, it's not. It's
like,
not.
It's like the... Make sure your fingertips are... No, like this.
And then just doing specific. The same semicircle move, and I'm just like...
That's probably why I'm not interested.
Like, it's too much going on.
I get it, but at the same time, I'm like, can we just loosen the rules? Just a little bit. But then it wouldn't be tea ceremony.
Right.
So
it's a ceremony.
But it is very interesting to watch. Mm-hmm. Once. I think once is usually
enough. Once that's is enough. That's, yeah. I don't need to do it again.
No, we're good.
But it was a good experience.
I do want to try to wear, like, a real kimono.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not, like, a costume one and not a yukata. I've worn yukata many times, so that would be nice and do, like, a photo shoot.
Yes.
Other than that, I'm not that keen on, like, things like tea ceremony.
Right, yeah.
It's kind of boring.
I do want to practice calligraphy. I've been wanting to do
calligraphy.
Oh, it's so hard. It is so
because they have my community
I feel like
centers.
It's relaxing.
That's true. It is.
A little bit, yeah.
Because, like, we're very creative in arts, like, into artsy things. Like, calligraphy, I'm good for.
You gotta move the whole arm.
The whole arm.
Oh, she
but steady. Move,
yeah.
But steady.
You can't move just the wrist. Not a wrist.
No.
It's an arm thing.
It's almost like...
But it doesn't... Like, if you don't know how to write Japanese,
it doesn't matter.
It really doesn't.
I'm gonna have to...
I was doing my best, but...
I can imagine it's quite difficult.
Yeah.
Quite difficult. Mm. Quite a challenge. But I would like to get into that.
Right.
I need to find the time.
Yeah. You have too much things going on anyway. So I guess then compared to Tokyo, like, did you do a lot of cultural stuff as well?
I feel like we've done more cultural stuff this time.
Yeah, we did more touristy things. We went to Disneyland. We...
Shinjuku, Harajuku.
Yeah. All the city stuff.
Mm-hmm. All the city stuff. Mm-hmm. But over here, we've done a lot more shrines, a lot more temples.
Mm-hmm. We went to Osaka Castle the other day. Yeah.
Have you been to Wakayama yet?
No, I've heard of that, but what?
Wakayama has Koya-san, which is a temple complex of Buddhist temples.
Oh.
And is the one of the... In Wakayama, there's Kumano, which is like an ancient religion that started hundreds of years ago. And then Koya-san is like a segment of that, but the more Buddhist part. So you can start in Koya-san. It's where most people go because you can get there by train. And then the Kumano pilgrimage is like a 5-day trail that you can take through the mountains. And there's inns and you stop at little inns or camp in the mountains. You can't really do it this time of year, but like in the summer.
Yeah. Oh,
people do it.
Yeah, it's too cold.
It's like a super duper religious
prefecture.
Yeah. And they sell, I think, vegan food. Not sell, they provide.
No? I think, you can. I think
their meals are usually vegetarian.
Okay.
Because it's very, like, strict Buddhist kind of diet, so you can't kill things.
Okay.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Okay.
So what is, like, the main, like, religion over here?
Is
Buddhism?
Technically, the national religion is Shintoism.
Okay.
Like, as listed
on Wikipedia.
According. Nationally, all Japanese people are Shinto. But in terms of what people believe, well, there are a lot of people that practice Buddhism in Japan. Some various, like, Japanese sects of Buddhism. And then they also practice Shintoist things. So they'll have, like, Obon, which is a Buddhist holiday. But then they also practice Shogatsu, which is technically a Shinto holiday, but it's technically just like a New Year's Day.
They
so
just
I don't know
be
if that's
welcoming to everything. Just,
okay. Yeah. Well, the way, like, try anything once.
Right. The way, like, a Japanese person described it to me, Shinto is for, like, celebrating things and for living things. Buddhism is for, like, funerals and, like, dead things.
Oh. Makes sense.
So that's how they
separate. Kind of, so what do they believe in, though? Is it
money?
Right? Like, is there a god that they pray
to?
No. I didn't think so.
Yeah, they're not religious.
Okay. Yeah, it's more spiritual than home.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they do believe in gods of their area, and they'll pray for, like, good luck, mm-hmm. They'll pray to pass exams.
And they're superstitious.
But I don't think they really believe in, like, a heaven or a hell.
Okay.
Like
that's
that.
A thing.
Yeah, that's not so much. Shota said he believes in all the gods. He has all the gods on his side. So
okay.
I was like,
okay. Non-denominational, all that.
Right, right. I'm backed by everybody.
Way to go.
I feel like maybe that's how they're just really lighthearted about it. Which is good.
That is good.
You know? Yeah, it is.
But maybe for people that come here that are super religious, they'd be like,
it's different.
Can you pick a side, though?
Right, right.
I could, but why would I? Right.
I told you.
So we've decided that Elise and say your name one more time.
Marista
are similar, and me and Coco are very similar. Yeah.
Right.
So good balance today.
Yes.
But I agree with you though. I feel like Kansai has more cultural things because I know some people come here, and the very few people who don't really enjoy Osaka more than Tokyo tell me that there's not a lot to do.
Oh, what? That's crazy. Mm.
And that's because they like the city and they like the lights and the I guess the clouds.
The cliche
towers,
things.
Very cliche things. But in, like, Osaka, you kind of have to really know what you want to do and search for it.
Yeah.
Or just, like, yeah. Nightlife. I don't know. Is Osaka nightlife okay?
Come on. We spent a night in Tokyo and did shit all. We were at a hookah bar for, like, 5 hours. It's the fucking worst night I've ever had in my life.
I mean, I think at least in Osaka at night, when you walk around, you just see people, you start talking to them.
Yeah. Oh, so many people, have walked up to us just, oh, hi, where are you from? Someone made us origami birds in the
park. Yeah, seriously. It was so nice and unexpected. I'm like,
So people out here... people are friendly out here. Yeah.
Yeah, foreigners and I guess the natives alike are very friendly here. While in Tokyo, it's just more like, I'm doing my thing.
Yeah, right. that never happened over there.
Yeah.
It's like, or like you're in your clique, we go to this party. So it's like, you gotta know where to go. Mm-hmm. That's how I feel. Yeah, Minokusai.
What is that?
Minokusai is like bothersome.
Yeah. That's really like the polite. direct way of saying it, but it's like annoying.
What's the better translation? When do we say, I don't want to fucking deal.
Like, you can't deal. Yeah.
Yeah, like, I
mean,
there's
many ways English would say Mendel.
Hashtag can't even.
You just Mendoza? Define it. Mendoza.
That's my fave.
That's
my new
fave. It's going to be used a lot.
Like, I could go out and I could do this, but Mendoza.
That used to be my favorite word for a minute, and then, like, one Japanese person's like, that's so negative. I'm like,
Perhaps I'm
I guess I am.
You should have just looked at me like, Mendoza.
All right, so do you plan on, like, coming back again or moving here, or what are your plans for the future?
Definitely coming back.
Okay.
I am looking to move out here soon. Well, not soon. Maybe in, like, the next couple years.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Marissa, you'd probably come back just to, like,
Yeah, I would come back to visit. I low-key want to live in Europe. Mm-hmm. I do know a wee smidge of French. I'm learning French. So that's more my speed. But I do love it out here. Mm-hmm. I like coming out here to visit.
That's good. So then what are your, I guess, plans for, what is it,
Melanin Squared.
Melanin Squared.
Yes.
Ooh, to make money.
Okay.
To do it full time. Yes. So we don't have to work for the white man anymore.
That's definitely
a girl. I said what I said.
And I meant it.
And I meant it.
But definitely want to keep doing the podcasting. And I would like to, I like blogging, I like writing. So I plan on getting heavy into that. And I low-key want to start my own, like, little vegan bakery situation. Ooh. I realized, obviously, that there's a lack of vegan sweets, especially.
That are good.
Here. So I'm like, well, I could reasonably do that.
Yeah,
I could do
that. Definitely
I could open a little restaurant out here. And I feel like it would go out well. I love the flavors out here. So food and entertainment have always been my thing. So I'm hoping to smoosh that together. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Well, we're going to end our part here about you traveling. Oh, so if you said you had questions for us, mainly probably for Elise, because I say I'm like a part-time nerd or half nerd because I'm not well-versed in things. I'm always like very...
She was from the cool kid crowd.
No, you say
she
that.
She was on a track team. Oh, come on.
I was about to say, was on track too.
It's okay.
That's pretty wild.
It's okay.
That's pretty wild.
I just feel offended that you would say that.
But you were cool. But is it true?
I'm not cool, though. I'm
she
such
said
a fucking
weren't.
Dork. I was in the track team, but I wasn't really cool.
I
was just involved with them because I didn't want to be with the other people.
You were an athlete.
She was, if you see her old stuff, she was cute as hell.
Oh. Okay, that doesn't mean I was cool, though. Like, and it's still the same thing as now. You see me doing DJ and stuff like, oh,
questions.
Yeah, she looks so cool. But I'm actually a big goofball. Anyway.
Relatable.
Yes. So I want to know, when you came out here, was the nerd thing a big appeal for you, like anime and stuff like that, or?
Okay, so I had like this weird like off and on phase with Japanese because I started learning like middle school, high school.
Okay.
I started that whole, I'm going to teach myself Japanese.
Oh, I had that moment.
And then my high school had an exchange program. So I did the exchange program and then I did that for all of high school. And in college, I was going to study Japanese and become like a translator or whatever. And I hated my college. So I dropped out of college and I went to a trade school that did and majored in animation. Mm. And from then on, I was like, oh, I'm going to go work at Disney and I'm going to make like cartoons. And I'm down for American cartoons now, man. I'm supporting those indie cartoons. And I did that for like 3 years.
Okay.
And then towards like the end of my time in animation school, I started coming back to animation. I was working at a Japanese shop at the time, so I was like, oh yeah, it's okay, I can do a little Japanese animation here and there, and started mixing it all together. And then I met my husband. So then I was like, oh shit, we're dating now, it's kind of serious, would I go to Japan? I'm not gonna be a Disney animator anymore. Like, that was, and so I wasn't really, there was never really a reason to go to Japan until me and my husband decided to get married. So honestly, there was like no nerd angle when I first got to Japan. It was really more like, oh shit, I'm in a foreign country and I need to like make money. And
yes.
I need to like try to find ways to like fit in.
Right.
So for my first like 2 years in Japan, I would look like a typical kind of like gyaru. Like I had my straight hair and I used to wear like really girly clothes with like ribbons. And I was like trying to wear makeup every day. And like,
oof.
I was hardcore trying to fit. Yeah, it was like hardcore just trying to like,
you were in Mie then, right?
Assimilate a little bit?
Yeah, I was trying to assimilate for sure. No, I was only in Mie for like the first 3 to 6 months.
Oh,
and then I moved to Osaka. And like, it was fun. But honestly, only after I like let go of that whole trying to, because it, you know, it seemed like it was going to work for the first 2 years, right? Because everyone's like, oh my gosh, you look like you're half. And you're so like Japanese. And I'm like, you say that, but you don't treat me that way.
Right.
It's all just lip service. I'm
like,
if you're not going to treat me the same, there's no point in me trying to look the same or act the same.
Right.
So I just should be the same way I was back in the States. And I kind of flipped the script on everybody. And they're like, oh my God. Your hair
happened.
Oh my God, you have piercings. Oh my God. I'm like, I was like this before I came to Japan. So. Whoops. So the nerd stuff was never really that big of a pull for me. And even now, I don't watch that much Japanese stuff.
Okay.
Because it's kind of like not that good, honestly.
I can see
We've been in the Airbnb watching some of these
shows,
programs that come on.
Yeah.
And I sit there on some of them and I'm like, what is this even about?
Yeah, now you get it. Because now you're like, the Zara world.
I thought it was just the commercials, but no.
No,
it's everything. It. Like, yeah.
It's ridiculous and low-key sexist as well. Mm. So Ooh. That doesn't help because now you're just like... You
a can't little put off.
It. Yeah. Right. When you learn the language, you can't just ignore it. You hear it.
Oh, like, man. Oh,
you know, you look good for a darker, or you look, you would look better if you lost weight. Like, they'll say that shit.
Oh,
you.
My God.
Or they'll be like, oh, my you God, have you lost weight?
You caught these hands, you know?
But, you know, they say it in a way that's supposed to be polite, so they don't think it's aggressive. It's,
Gary, what is that? Passive-aggressive.
Nice, nasty. Well, that's the language, that's the culture, so.
And they do that to each other. Like, they always tell my husband, like, because he tans very easily. He can tan as dark as I do. But his coworkers were like, oh my gosh, you're so dark now. You look like a black person. Ha ha ha. And we're like, how's that funny? Why would you think that's funny? And he's like, they say that to me all the time. And I'm like, I can't even imagine. And then when people are like, why don't you want to raise your children here? I'm like, why would I?
Right.
Why would I
want
to
have to go through that?
Right.
Yeah.
Constantly having to explain why their skin is dark or why their hair does this. I'm right. Like, they're like, oh, but the U.S. is so dangerous. I'm like, yeah, well, I know where to go in the U.S.
Oh,
so,
that's you said it.
It's all about being educated.
Right.
About where they live.
I'm just like, it's too stressful. It's like low-key stress, though, right? So it's not like big apparent stresses. Yeah, so when you tell people, they don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, but Japan's so safe. There's like no guns there. And I'm like, yeah, but you're just looking at surface shit, man.
Yeah. Right.
There's layers.
There's other things.
Political layers. Yep.
Behind the scenes.
There's a lot of behind the scenes, like, domestic violence.
Really?
That's kids, not trans.
Yeah, a lot of kids get, like, that's a lot of
child
kids.
Abuse is a big problem.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's
terrible. So it's just like, man.
Well, with that being said, what has
tangent.
Kept you guys... right?
I don't know where we
What has kept you guys here for so long?
Yeah.
Lack of funds. Because Japan doesn't pay well.
It doesn't. I would say partially lack of funds. I could have moved like 2 years ago if I wanted to.
Hey, you had a good job.
Yeah, but only lasted 2 years. And a lot of it too is that I just don't want to go back to the States.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I think about going to another country, I'm like, do I want to do this all over
again?
And if I do it all over again, maybe in Cali or something, but in another country... if I did it in another country, it would have to be, like, an English-speaking country. Because I'm not doing this again.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm just not. True. I'm over it.
I wouldn't be going to
No.
Yeah. Well, I kind of like Taiwan. Like, I would almost be interested in going to Taiwan. But then you see what, like, China's doing in Hong Kong. And I'm like, Taiwan, you better watch out.
Uh-oh.
Because you're technically part of China.
Wait. What I miss? What they doing?
Oh, no, I'm just... Because for the, like... For the last few years or so, like, China's been, like, constantly being like, you know you're our territory, right? Like, you are part of China.
Ooh.
And technically, Taiwan is. They're technically not a separate country.
It's like Mexico. Or, Puerto Rico.
And people are saying that after they finish dealing with Hong Kong, there's a chance that they might become more aggressive towards Taiwan. And I'm just like... Shit. I like Taiwan because Taiwan's like a more freer version of Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I went when I visited Taiwan, they was like getting me high in front of like memorials and
shit.
And I was like,
next vacation.
Can we be here? And they're like, no, it's fine.
No,
we had like bottles
it's
of
still
alcohol.
Illegal.
Right?
Still
right?
Still illegal.
Taiwanese kids don't
they
give
don't
a fuck.
Okay.
Like, they're like what Japanese kids would be like without like the brainwashing and the education system.
Yeah.
I feel like they would be like Taiwanese kids because they're just like really. Down to earth and like, you know, they're knowledgeable. They know their history. They know everybody else's history, and they're smart.
Wow.
And all the Taiwanese cats I've met so far,
wow,
very interesting.
Well, I don't know. I didn't hang out with such cool Taiwanese people when I went. I was with like two other black ladies, and they were telling me their experience. I'm like, it sounds just like Japan. I'm not gonna move here.
Oh, it wasn't good?
I mean, it wasn't, like, terrible, but it was just very similar to what I experienced already.
Thing.
So I'm like, I'm good. I don't need to experience that again. I'm sorry. And in a different language that
right.
I don't know
no,
at all.
Right. No, thank
good.
You.
Good.
Okay.
So,
yeah. Yeah, I don't think I could see myself going to another country to start over. But the only reason I haven't gone back is, money is hard to transfer over when the yen is fucked up. That fake... false-ass inflation they're doing where they keep raising the price of the yen so that companies make money when they export is screwing us over because importing things has become more expensive.
Oh, wow.
And now when I send money to the States, it's not worth as much because back when I first came here, I think it was like 89 yen to the dollar.
Yeah, it was.
So you get like an extra, basically like
20%. It was nice. Golden years for us.
I was like sitting there, I was like, Mom, put a little bat that in your pocket. Oh, I'm on loans, you know. Right, I was excited. Right. And then Abenomics hit and it was like, well, your money is valueless.
I stopped sending money so frequently.
That's crazy.
Because then also the exchange rate was whack.
Wow. Yeah. It's still whack. So it's really hard if you're working in Japan because the salary is already like half of what you would be getting in America based on like experience and stuff alone. Everyone starts entry level. So everyone starts at like $15,000 a year. Like that's kind of, I'm talking like below.
You can see our faces?
Yeah. Woo! Like,
hey. I wasn't expecting low.
When I look at Indeed or LinkedIn or any of those sites in Japan where they're asking for maybe mid-career changes, it's still low.
Yeah. It's still like maybe 25, 30,000 if you're lucky mid-career. You should be getting like 40, 50,000.
Yes.
Mid-career in Japan? Nah.
Nope.
25.
Wow. Yeah. And that'll be like probably maybe before taxes if you're lucky. Mm. Or no, after taxes if you're lucky. Oh. Otherwise, that money will be taxed. And Japanese taxes are heavily. No joke because there's the universal health care. And then you have the pension system you have to pay plus your city tax. Sometimes your state tax is separate. Mm. So
my city tax is like 400.
You're learning me hard.
Yeah. It's not every month, but it's like each quarterly is like about $400.
Jeez. The best way to do it is to have an American company that pays you in dollars.
I was about to say, okay. Yeah.
Because then you'd be like,
I'm good. So I paid my last, that wasn't in American dollars, but when I went to Tokyo for my photo shoots, I was like, all right, paying my city tax.
Right?
Because what I'm making now is like a bit, it's lower than what I was making before. But it's my choice to do part-time so much and not full-time. But it's just,
so you have to do everything yourself, though.
Yes, everything. Taxes.
The company won't do it. My company handles my taxes, so it comes out of my paycheck.
It's convenient, but it's like, for me, I can't deal working full-time anymore, so even though I'm like still like, do I go back to keep my visa? It's just, I'm going back and forth with it every day, and I'm just like, but I like the freedom of just going in and out of my place whenever.
That's what I would like.
Yeah.
Right.
Very much.
There's options, it's just really hard.
Mm. Okay. Yeah. That's some insight. All right.
You gotta work.
Okay. For people who do want to move out here, even after hearing
that, you're still determined.
What's like some good starting work? Because, like you said, you know, you moved out here because of your husband. Mm-hmm. What was like the first thing you did, and how do you branch out from that? Because I feel like, is it hard to job hop in another country when you're on a visa,
our working visa? Well, you have she's permanent now, but she started as a spouse, so spousal and permanent can like do any type of job. But with working visa, it's like something with humanities, engineer slash whatever
specialties
in humanities. That's very wide. Okay. The only thing I need like special permission for that visa is working in a public school. Mm-hmm. So I actually needed that for one of my gigs, although it's short. But you can work in translation. You could work in narration. But you can't really be like an artist. So that's a different visa.
Oh, okay.
But you can work in like a recruiting company. Mm-hmm. You could work in a hotel with that visa. So you could do many
bars?
No.
Okay. So that's considered separate from restaurants?
That's kind of separate.
Okay.
Like, if it's just strictly a bar as nightlife, I feel like that's different. It's like,
right, it's Mizushobai, which is like, that bar life is kind of hooked in with prostitution.
Mm.
Yeah, it's like an old law that kind of makes like, if you're an institute that's open late at night and plays loud music and sells alcohol, you're technically a house of prostitution. It's so like old. Some old law.
Oh. So, but a lot of bar work is cash paid. So a lot of foreigners still work at bars and hosting snack bars.
Just don't get caught.
I'm on vacation.
It's like, I wasn't at the bar. She's like,
I was drinking at the bar.
I wasn't at the bar. My drink.
Yeah. Yes. So yeah, there's that.
But your first job was?
First job was working in an Eikaiwa, which is conversation school.
Okay.
And after that, I just ventured out. I still did English. I was still in the English teaching industry. Mm-hmm. I was doing like preschool and kindergarten for a while. And then my last job was still in the English teaching industry, but I was in an office with other Japanese people. It was just only me as a foreigner. Mm-hmm. And I was there on the computer just making scripts for English lessons for video. Mm-hmm. And then I would go to Tokyo to record it. So, like, that type of job, even though it was not teaching, I felt like I was still teaching.
Yeah.
And I was so tired of it after the first year.
She had the angriest rants with her.
Because my coworker was an idiot. He was a dingus.
Just imagine her going off on him in the office. Can you stop? Can you just stop?
Oh. Not even just that. I was more aggressive. I wasn't even smiling.
Oh, no.
I was like the maddest I ever was in those past 2 years. But those 2 years I worked there. So now I had to woosah.
Yeah, dealing with older Japanese men is like difficult. Peak. Yeah. Frustration level.
I think with that time, me and you were both ranting a lot on this, on this podcast.
The first few episodes.
Yeah. So now I'm not in that, and I'm like totally chill. Yeah. So
you mentioned narration. Mm. Is that the same thing as like voiceover?
Yeah, technically, but they call it narration here or narration. That's what they call it. And today was my first time doing dubbing.
Oh,
and they said I did really well, so I would like to get into that more.
Me too.
Wait, were you dubbing in English?
In English. Yeah, okay. So with these types of jobs, you have to join an agency, and then they find you jobs. It's not as easy as it is just like, hey, I'm working for work in America. Or audition. It's like you have to sign up for an agency, and then they send your voice for an audition. So it's a little bit different than compared to the States. But I started that last year. Because I had signed up for this agency like a while back, got no jobs. And I was like, you know what? F it. I'm just going to do full-time work again. And then after I quit again, I said, well, I'm free if you're still looking for people. And it was just like good timing. They had just lost one of their, you know, regulars.
Oh.
Because they weren't paying her on time.
Mm.
So someone told me that work in the same agency says you got to just be on top of them.
Yeah.
Because they just lost someone that they were, you know, needing. And then I signed up for another agency. So there's two. So the first one was giving me a lot of work, and then it just fell off in the summer. Mm-hmm. And then now the new one is giving me more work.
Okay.
But it's not as consistent as I want it to be.
Okay.
So
you gotta have something to
supplement
a side
that. You need to have like a part-time Aikawa work or like dispatch teaching, which is what I'm doing. And then I do my photography. Which is... You know, off and on.
We're part-time jobs.
If you want to at least pay for your rent. And also, I have a roommate, so it helps.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I started the same English teaching route because I didn't speak any Japanese. Mm-hmm. And then after about a year and a half of that, I worked at a bar for about 6 months and did a bunch of like part-time stuff. And one day I was just like, I understand enough Japanese because I've been talking to customers for like 6 months. I'm like, I could translate now. I talk to people all day, every night, drunk. And I just looked on like Gaijinpot, which is not really a thing anymore. I feel like a lot of people don't use Gaijinpot.
People use it, but it's trash. That's where I got my last job.
Oh, wow. Well,
right.
What last job?
The job that was 2 years. There's some random gems here and there.
It's very random though. So I saw they were looking for like game testers, and I was like, ooh, I can test games. And so I went in and started doing that. And they were like, can you do translation stuff? And I'm like, Yeah, sure, why not? And luckily translation is the kind of job where you really learn the most working. Like the words that I learned in translation, I'm not going to see in daily life. I'm not going to find in a textbook either. Mm. You're just going to find it on the job.
Right.
So I feel like a lot of my language growth just happened after I started working in translation. Because then I was like, okay, I need to memorize these things. And I need to know what these words mean. And you see certain patterns, especially with gaming. Everybody speaks the same way. Or they use the same basic like compounds and stuff like that. So once you memorize that, you can kind of translate anything. The key is doing it correctly in English, because a lot of people understand the Japanese, but they can't write it well in English.
Right.
They write like an elementary school student, like, I have lots of things. And you're like, well, who says that? No English speaker speaks like that.
Right.
So in my years,
I do more direct translating.
It sounds very, we call it chokuyaku, which is like direct translations. Yeah. So I was lucky enough that I could just hop from teaching, have a 6-month waiting period, and then slide into translation. There are, I feel like if you've spent enough time in Japan and you have a solid grasp of the language, it's pretty easy to do it if the job is there. Mm. The problem is these jobs are not so widely available, and they're mostly centered in bigger cities.
So okay.
Yeah, this is Tokyo or Osaka. Osaka luckily has a lot of businesses.
Yeah.
So a lot of people
But a lot of their headquarters are in Tokyo as well.
No, a lot of... Osaka was a big business center for a long time. Okay. So a lot of them still have their businesses here, and they used to be the headquarters.
Okay.
So they do have large amounts of staff. Like Nintendo, their headquarters is here.
Okay. Oh,
Capcom's, I believe their headquarters is Osaka, but they also have a building in Tokyo.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's because the rent is cheaper. If you have a lot of people, you need a big office,
right,
you're going to choose the cheaper option.
Rent. Yeah, right.
Like Nintendo's headquarters is made out of like an old elementary school. It's really like low-key creepy. I did not like working there, but maybe one day they'll actually hire foreigners. Nintendo's weird. Oh, anyway, but these companies, they're looking for people that live in Japan that speak Japanese and English.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like with time, they'll start trusting us foreigners more.
Maybe. It depends on the industry.
For now, they're still like, oh, we would rather have a Japanese person that speaks English than an English speaker that speaks Japanese.
Well, so you're racist,
huh? Japanese.
Not even.
I know.
It's like, we can't trust you. And I'm like, yeah, but they're not a native speaker, so what makes them? So it's suddenly so trustworthy.
Right. We've complained. I understand needing a native Japanese speaker, but...
But then I've seen some, like, translators, and I'm like, oh.
We've already complained many times about how, like, if you're a Japanese person and you speak English, you shouldn't translate to English because there's certain nuances that you just don't get
mm-hmm.
when you're translating to English.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And I think a lot of these companies, too, they worry about foreigners because we won't get the culture or follow the rules.
Yeah, which
in the daily life, you know?
Sometimes
I mean,
right.
Of course. But... Or they don't want to deal with the paperwork with, like, visas.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
There's a bunch of companies that, like, they would hire a foreigner for the first time, like, we didn't know we had to do that. So it's like a lot of, you know.
More hassle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is. Looking for the easy way.
Of course. Mm. And then when I did like my interviews with the photography or photo studios, like they were, you know, nice enough to invite me to an interview. My Japanese isn't that smooth, and especially nervous, it's just like
right.
So I just felt like they probably said no because I couldn't do like teine. I can't speak in like proper
honorary
Japanese, especially this one company that does a lot of weddings.
Mm.
I talked to another friend in Tokyo who does photography. Like her, she has her own business.
Oh,
nice. Tapsia. She was saying that doesn't really matter because it shouldn't really matter so much about your Japanese ability. They just want your talent. Mm-hmm. But I was telling her, like, well, these are these places I went to. They were like, okay, we'll call you. And they never did.
Mm-hmm.
They seemed to have liked me and my personality, but they just never got back to me. So, but it was just fine. I didn't continue to do the interviews because I was getting tired.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I don't even want to work for these companies because they pay, like, $10 an hour.
Yes.
And it's like, I make more already on my own
art
doing it. But it's like, I also want the experience and, like, kind of get in the industry. But then at the same time, it's like... If the schedule's okay, but they're like, we want you every day, Monday through Friday, from like 9 to 6. I'm like, but then I'm not really making anything.
Right.
So, wow. The struggle is real.
Mm. You have to make a lot of, concessions if you decide to work in Japan.
Yeah.
You don't expect to make as much. The work-life balance is going to be rocky.
Trash.
Yeah. She said it. And, yeah, it's going to be... tougher unless you take the English teacher route, which in most cases is easier because they've been doing it so long. Mm. So they're used to hiring teachers.
Yeah.
The process has been ironed out. If you try to move out of that industry, just expect your work to be doubled.
Okay.
Yeah. And I feel like a lot of people who go on the JET route, you know, JET program, they are spoiled. And
they
a lot of them know, and some of them don't until they actually get out of it.
Mm.
They make a lot more money than the English conversation teachers. Sometimes they get a car.
What?
You know, yeah, it depends on where you are. That's probably in the boonies.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, the fact is, like, when they get out, it's like a culture shock for them.
Mm. Really?
Because
it's the real life, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So.
That's crazy.
Wow, we didn't make this sound very appealing.
No, I'm sorry.
You know what? But it's real. Like,
yes,
it's
we
fucking
want that.
Real.
We never make
want
it
real.
Like, I want us to be like, no, you can do it. But, like, when I think about it, like,
I mean, you can do
if
it.
If I had to, like, think about it again,
I probably wouldn't have come to Japan.
I would have gone to Cali, like, for real, for real. Yeah. I would have been up in Cali. I would have bought a house back when it was hella cheap. Yeah. And I would have had my little artist commune somewhere in, like, San Bernardino or something like that. Right. Like, that would have been the
I don't know. I was already struggling in New York City, so I felt like I was doing the same thing, to be honest.
Yeah. Ooh, New York, though.
Yeah. It's expensive. Because, like, I was living in Brooklyn. The rent at that time was $1,735. I was paying the $735, and I couldn't pay that. I just got back from college. My dad paid for, like, the first 6 months. Then I got, like, work, but I was hopping around doing, like, cafe work. And then I was like, okay, Dad, do you know anybody who's hiring? So he got me a job working in some chain, like, medical office. It was an ENT, an allergy type office. Did that for, like, a year and a half, and I hated it. But it was like, okay, I can pay my rent now. Right. But then it's like, oh, now you gotta pay your school loans back. I'm like, bitch, where?
Bitch, where?
And then I didn't have, like, health insurance anymore. That ran out after a certain age.
Oh, yes.
So then when my friend was telling me, like, yeah, I went to Japan for 6 months and I did this. I went to for my health insurance. She came back because she had family issues. But I was like, you know what? That sounds appealing. I can't live by myself. I don't have to live with my brother anymore. Because that's what happened. I was living there. Yeah, well. And yeah, I never lived by myself at the time. I always had a roommate or I was with my family. So I thought that was appealing. Get my health insurance, get my own money. And that's why I came here.
Oh, all
right. Wow. So yeah, if you want to come here, we can give you more information to make it a smoother transition.
Yeah, I think knowing people definitely helps. Because when I came, I knew nobody.
Yeah.
I was just like, it was me.
Right. Yeah, I mean, Nishe, who was on the show before, she was saying how it was much better for her knowing us, better for her life. Yeah.
Okay.
What do they say? It's not what you know, but it's who you know.
Yeah, it really is. It makes sense. That's why I started my group, the Black Creatives in Japan group, because it's like, I don't wish this upon you. Right. I'm not one of those people who are like, well, I dealt with this and you gotta do it too. Like, no, that's BS.
Yeah.
And everybody's like asking, where do I get my hair done? Where do I get this? Where's the black products I can get?
Every time I look at y'all hair, I'm like, who does your hair? Like, where do we do it ourselves? Like,
that you gotta be like more self-sufficient when you come here.
Yeah.
There are gonna be more people in Tokyo that can help you, but when you're living outside of that, it's like, you gotta know how to do yourself.
Know how to, like, do a lineup and...
I mean, there's a couple of people. There's actually a Japanese barber that can, but I think he's mostly into, like, guys' hair.
Right. Oh, okay.
So I don't know if he can do, like, girls' hair.
Is this a dude at Google?
No, no. Someone closer to where I live, so... Okay. Yeah, there's that.
There's all, like, two people.
It's like two different people.
Yeah, everybody knows, like, those people. Okay.
Yeah, you have to become a little bit more self-sufficient in the personal hygiene realm.
Okay, yeah.
But...
Do you ever... order from companies like to get products in here?
There's iHerb.
iHerb doesn't have as many black people here stuff. It's mostly white people here.
Yeah.
But there's like some shops that do ship, but the shipping is like $40.
Yeah.
Oh, international shipping always starts at $40. Like all the subscription boxes you have in the US, you can't get because of like international shipping is $25. Per box. Or $40 per box. It's more than a fucking box.
Right.
Wow. Yeah. Exactly. You're right.
It doesn't make sense.
I always just get a lot of stuff for when I go home.
Yeah.
Because I go home yearly. So that's why I'm okay with my hair products. And then some people like giving away stuff like, oh, this doesn't work for me. So here.
Okay.
You know? So there's that. But
being part of a group helps.
Being part
when
of a group
go,
helps.
People go, they'll usually like, hey, you need me to get you something?
Is this true?
Yeah, oh, wow.
The Black Women Japan group, yeah, a lot of people are like, oh, I have all this stuff. Or you can go on base. If you are in Tokyo and you have a friend that has a pass, you can go on base and they have a supermarket and they have a bunch of stuff.
Exchange.
American stuff that you can buy. So
you have that military ID.
Yeah. Well, technically, we do.
There you go.
Right. Something to think about. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So again, after
I
this,
move to Okinawa. Actually,
really,
if I move back to Japan,
yeah.
Okay.
Okinawa is dope.
Why?
I've never been.
It's closer in vibe terms to America. Like everybody's just chilled out. Everybody's really friendly, like here. But you need a car because they got like no public transportation infrastructure.
Sounds like America.
But it's like warm all year round. Japanese people call it Japan's Hawaii.
Yeah.
Oh. So it's like that same kind of spirit of Hawaii.
Is it extra expensive like Hawaii is?
No. The price actually doesn't. Well, now it is because they're having like this tourism boom because of a Chinese company made like a cruise ship that goes to Okinawa. And the sad thing with Japan is every time there's like a boom in a certain region, prices instantly like spike, like ridiculously. So before it was like $400 a month for an apartment, and now it's like suddenly $1,500. And like Okinawan people are like, what the fuck is going on? What? Like, I used to be able to live,
and that's why they don't want us over here. We're making their prices double. Triple. Yeah. Well,
it's the hotels that are like, they're in a rush to build hotels and condos to like feed this new, like, when it comes to like terrible trends like that, Japan is so short-sighted because they're like, we gotta build a hotel right now for these tourists that are coming in like the next 2 or 3 years. But it's like, what about the
the people that live there?
Right. Do you think about the effect you're having on local economies?
They never do. They never do.
Now it's kind of expensive, but before it was
like, even really Osaka has gotten a little bit more expensive. Like, well, especially in the city part, and they added a lot more hotels.
They are building hotels everywhere now.
It kills me. Like, I would like see a building then knock down, and now it's like it's a parking lot, and then like a year later, it's a big building. It's a hotel. It's like it's a hotel again.
We've seen a lot of construction. We've seen a lot.
And now I'm always wondering, oh, I wonder what they're building.
But now we know.
Just hotels.
Dang.
The Olympics.
Yeah,
that's right.
They're expecting tourism to spike.
Yeah,
so
but that's one year, homie.
Right. Like, what are you going to do with these all these empty ass hotels
are
after the Olympics?
Are you going to tear them down again? You know?
I mean, the Olympics is only, what, 2 months that people are going to really just surge?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So.
But my thing is, who wants to come over here for the Olympics?
It's like, going
to
be busy AF.
People do want to come.
They do.
Oh, people want to watch the
residents or foreign
there.
Residents want to be out.
Yes.
We want to be out because it's going to be crazy.
I was going to say, I wouldn't want to be around that. That's too much. That's just
Japanese
too much.
People are hella excited. Showed like I was trying to get tickets. He was like, do you want to be a torchbearer? I was like,
Didn't your father-in-law put you in?
Yes. Yeah, he was like, I'll put your name in anyway. I was like,
thanks.
Whatever. We're not getting it.
I said
anyway.
No, but you know.
Right. Everybody's really excited about getting tickets. And I'm like, I'm not going nowhere near anything related to Olympics. No, nothing. Not going.
Wait, so do you have to buy or do you put it as a raffle or how's it?
You have to enter the raffle to get a ticket. If you are selected in the raffle to purchase a ticket, then you can choose which ticket you want to buy. Or I think you might have to even pick the raffle for the sporting event you want to. And you can do
it
because
it's over a period of time, you know.
And they said hotels are already like booked.
Wow.
So some people are like, I don't know where I'm gonna stay because hotels are already.
And
they're
gonna stay at home.
But did you hear about Airbnb pretty much getting like almost wiped out like a year ago? Because they were doing like extra regulations for places.
Oh, for housing.
You had to be registered with the government.
Okay, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Japan was like, we're not happy, so we're gonna like stop this. Because they want their hotels to get more,
right?
Mm-hmm. But it's like, well, then there's like no space if like
right when the hotels fill up, that's when people look to Airbnb.
Right,
you're gonna miss out on a whole bunch of tourism
because of that.
That's fine. Whatever. I'll stay at home.
I don't know. Like, did you read anything about the rugby fans and getting places to stay and stuff? Like, was that okay?
There was nothing reported, but I don't think they would report it. I want to be like. I feel like the hotel rooms they have reserved for people visiting Japan are separate from what they have available for, like, domestic tourism.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So that's why a lot of Japanese sites have, like, a domestic page, like, a page for domestic tourism. Like, this page tells you all the places and the hotels to visit inside of Japan. And these hotels probably keep a certain number of rooms allotted for domestic tourists. Okay. And then maybe when it comes to these international events, they try to focus on international tourists first, and then whatever's left is like for domestic. But I don't know because nothing has been reported. I haven't seen anything, but that's a good something that's worth investigating. Mm.
If I cared that much, but
yeah, it is that.
Wow.
Any other questions?
I'm just taking it all.
You're taking it all.
It's a lot.
No, I. Don't have any
we good?
Questions.
All right. Well, we can leave it here for the episode and we can talk more later after you settled in.
Yeah.
But I appreciate you coming all over here to my humble abode. And I hope you enjoy the rest of your trip here in Kansai.
Thank you.
I'm going to be fly.
Yes.
All right. So if you like to share your social media.
So we are melanin_squared. On
Instagram.
Melanin Squared on Twitter. Melanin Squared on YouTube, Melanin Squared on Facebook.
Yes.
That's it, yeah.
Yes, and I'm certain that when we get our website, please look out for that. Right. It's also going to be Melanin Squared, and our podcast
for Black Nerd Problems
is also Melanin Squared.
On Stitcher and Spotify and Apple.
Yes.
Awesome. Easy to remember.
We are here.
Yeah. All right. All that information will be in the show notes. Again, thank you. And we'll be back in a couple of weeks, hopefully. I don't know when the next episode will be. I will post it. I'm so sorry. They're going to get two episodes in 1 week.
You get it.
YouTube watchers, listeners will get two episodes
in 1 week. Whoops, it isn't.
All right, then. Bye.